Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man, who can find? The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. Who can say, "I have kept my heart pure. I am clean and without sin"? Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. "It's no good, it's no good," says the buyer. Then off he goes and boasts about his purchase. Gold there is, and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if he does it for a wayward woman. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouthful of gravel. Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. If a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Do not say, "I'll pay you back for this wrong." Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. The Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. A wise king winnows out the wicked. He drives the threshing wheel over them. The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. Love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair, the splendor of the old. Blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, obviously, each of these proverbs has wisdom for us, but as I prayed about which ones to emphasize, there are actually quite a few we're going to try and touch on. The first is the opening verse, verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, and beer is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by them is not wise. So how would I paraphrase that? Alcohol is dangerous. So are automobiles. Alcohol and automobiles together, really dangerous. Now, we use automobiles here, but we don't use alcohol here. Why is that? We know that you can be a wonderful Christian and drink alcohol, but you can't be an employee here and drink alcohol. And the reason for that is not because we're trying to be super spiritual. The reason is because we're working with a bunch of kids who come from families where a huge problem has been substance abuse in almost every case. That has been one of the major factors in the problems in these homes. And so if we try and tell these kids, hey, it's okay as long as you don't drink to excess, we're sending them a very, very dangerous message. It's the wrong population to give that message to. If you're going to help people who mustn't drink, then you mustn't drink. Don't tell them, I can, you can't. Doesn't work. And so here we're reminded that it's not just these kids who need to be careful. Everybody needs to be careful. Because the fact of the matter is, alcohol is dangerous. And in order to help these kids as effectively as possible, we set an example of folks who live a very joyful life without booze. I hope that's clear. Verse 3 says, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Did you know that there are some people who are grievance collectors? They are keeping score. He did this. She didn't wave at me. I smiled. They didn't smile back. Let me just tell you something. If you live that way, you will always find plenty of reasons to be upset. But please be sure and recognize the description of such people. The Bible says that's foolish. Every fool is quick to quarrel, looking for conflict, looking for a fight, looking for an argument, always disagreeable. That is not a sign that you're more intelligent than everyone else. I am surrounded by incompetence. No, you're just dysfunctional. Get help. Okay? The fact of the matter is, it is to your honor to overlook an offense. Somebody does something and instead of being offended, you just blow it off. That's wisdom. That is honor. That is the way we're supposed to be. Verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Look at verse 13. Do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you'll have food to spare. Now, if all you do is stay awake and you don't work, then obviously that's not going to cut it either. But the idea here is if it's just, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, if you're always just needing a break, if you come back from vacation and you're exhausted, something's wrong with this picture, okay? We are not supposed to work so that we can rest. We're supposed to rest so that we can work. I think it would be beneficial if we thought of the calendar the way that God set it up in Genesis chapter 1. It was evening and then morning, the first day. The Jewish day begins at sunset. You start a new day when the sun goes down so that you rest first and then you get up after you've rested and you go about your work. And at the end of your work, a new day begins with rest. You rest so that you can work. Work was not a curse. It was not even part of the curse. man was given the assignment of labor, of work, before the fall. The curse regarding labor is that our labor becomes a frustration to us. So if you are not a hard-working person, work hard at overcoming that, okay? Because the Bible tells us that we should work with all our might, do our best. Whatever we do, whatever our job is, we're supposed to really get after it. So, avoid sloth. Verse 5, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. This is why we have our counseling program. Wise counsel explores stuff that's deep inside. How many of you know that not just in your life, but in the lives of others also, there's stuff that's under the surface? I mean, we've got a whole bunch of stuff all the time, every day, that's going on various levels. And it's not appropriate to tell everybody everything about our lives. It's just that we wouldn't have time to get our jobs done. But there need to be some folks, people of understanding, who are capable of helping us explore what's going on inside, because sometimes we don't really realize the reasons why we feel the way we do and do the things we do, and why certain people set us off in ways that are almost bizarre. So, wise counsel exposes what is deep inside. Look at verses 7 and 9. The righteous man leads a blameless life. His children after him are blessed. Verse 9, who can say, I've kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? Blameless and sinless are not the same thing. On the one hand, we need to be blameless. We need to live a life that is without blame. We need to confess our sins. We're not going to be sinless. We need to confess our sins. We need to be forgiven. We need to be cleansed. We need to turn away from evil and do what is right. But there's a difference between being blameless, which a sinner can become blameless by God's grace. But don't ever start thinking that you're sinless. If you think you have to be sinless in order to be blameless, you will be a hypocrite, okay? You will have to rationalize, well, that doesn't constitute sin. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Well, I didn't really mean to do that, so it doesn't count, okay? If you think that you've got to be sinless in order to be blameless, you will not become sinless, and you will not be blameless. But if realizing that we've all sinned, you go to the Lord and deal with it honestly, with integrity, confessing your sins, receiving his cleansing, turning away from sin, you can live a life that is blameless.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Verses 10 and 23. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Verse 23. The Lord detests differing weights and dishonest scales don't please him. Look at one more. Verse 14. It's no good, says the buyer. Then off he goes and boasts about his purchases. This is simply a description of the fact that most people are not honest in business and that we've got to be. A, because it pleases the Lord, and B, because these kids are watching and learning. True story of a preacher in the past generation who arrived to take the pulpit of a downtown church in a major city, something of a prestige spot. He decided he would become acquainted with the city by getting on one of the city buses and just riding around on the bus to see the layout of the city and what was what and what the various neighborhoods were. Thought that would be a good way to get oriented. When he got on the bus and he paid his fare, the driver gave him back too much change. He didn't notice until he was walking down the aisle to take his seat and the driver had already pulled away and started down the road. And his first thought was, oh, well, praise the Lord, I got some extra money back. Because after all, the reason he was doing what he was doing was to serve the Lord. He wasn't out there because he was bored. He was out there on that bus because he wanted to learn this city as part of his ministry. But then the Lord spoke to his heart and said, that's not your money. You need to give the extra back. So after a long bus ride, when he went to get off the bus, he said to the driver, you gave me too much change when I was getting on. And the driver said, oh, thanks. You're that new preacher in town, aren't you? I saw your picture in the paper. He said, yes, I am. And the man said, well, I've been thinking that I need to find out more about Christianity, and I was thinking of visiting your church, so I gave you too much change to see what kind of person you really are. The preacher got off the bus. He said he grabbed hold of a light pole to keep from collapsing, thinking that for pocket change, he could have turned a man away who was seeking to know God. We've got to be scrupulously honest. Verse 12. Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Well, one very obvious application of that is that we ought to be grateful for the fact that we can see and we can hear. But that's not the principal meaning of the verse. The principal meaning of the verse is, if you can see and hear, realize God, who made our eyes and our ears, knows what's going on. God sees. God hears. God knows. Don't ever think that God's not aware of what's going on. I love the fact, way back in the garden, God says, Adam, where are you? Because Adam and Eve are hiding in the shrubbery, trying to cover themselves with leaves, and God plays along. But do you think for a moment that the creator of the universe, who spoke all things into being with the word of his power, was flummoxed as to what had happened to Adam and Eve? Hi, they were here just a minute ago. God always knows what's going on. He knows the end from the beginning. So don't ever think that God doesn't see and that God doesn't hear. Whatever you're going through, whatever your difficulty, whatever your temptation, God sees and God hears. Verse 17. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouthful of gravel. Is sin enjoyable? Would you say? For a while. For a while it is. But you end up with a mouthful of gravel. What an image. How would that be? Who has a mouthful of gravel? A corpse. You don't want a mouthful of gravel. Sin is pleasurable and exciting at first, but it always leads to death. Look at verse 22. Do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. In the book of Romans, we read more about this. In chapter 12, Paul tells us, and we are commanded by these words from God, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 27. The lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of a man. It searches out his inmost being. God not only sees what's on the outside, God sees what's on the inside. And God not only sees what is under the surface, God sees what is deep inside. God knows stuff about you that you don't even remember. God knows stuff about you that you'd rather not face. God knows everything. And the amazing thing is that when God looks at us, it is with eyes of love. And knowing everything about you, God has great plans for you. But don't ever think that God doesn't understand. We're the ones who don't understand. God knows everything about us. He searches deep inside. And finally, verse 30. Blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. Wow.
Pastor Wood said we're just supposed to beat them. Beat them till they quit being manipulative. No.
We don't use corporal punishment with these kids because many of these kids have been horribly abused in physical ways, not just emotionally. Some of the kids here would benefit from a good spanking. But some of the kids who are here would be devastated and further traumatized and wounded emotionally by a physical punishment like that. And so because of who we're dealing with, kind of like our rule on alcohol, because of who we're dealing with, we don't use corporal punishment. Pastor Wood, do you believe that it's okay for a Christian parent who's raising children in a loving, nurturing environment to use corporal punishment? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that while physical corporal punishment is a good, beneficial means of discipline for some kids in some situations, it is not appropriate with these kids. These kids have been through stuff that will take years to heal. And what they desperately need is to know that somebody loves them the way that God loves us, unconditionally. We don't deserve God's love. God doesn't love us because we're good. God doesn't love us because we've now earned it. He loves us because that's the way he is. God is love. And it's because he lives in us that we're able, even when it's hard, to keep on loving folks who haven't earned it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.